You would never take off without doing a walk around. When was the last time you did a walk around of your finances?
I talked to so many pilots making $300,000 a year who are just one medical disqualification away from zero income.
Your 401k won't save you if you're losing your medical next week. Don't let a single failure compromise the safety of your finances. You need a backup system that ensures liquidity.
Whether you're in the cockpit or an office chair, you need to hear this episode. Let's go.
Hey, I'm Dave.
And I'm Paul.
And this is the Wealth Warehouse Podcast.
So you were talking before we hit record that you want to drop some weight this year? You trying to get preferred status?
No, I don't plan on going through underwriting ever again, to be honest with you. I've got so much convertible term to convert. But no, I'd like to drop another 10 pounds, but, you know, make sure it's the right type of, that I'm at the right weight, right? You know, body fat ratio and, you know, lean mass. And, I'm close. Like I'm like 171 right now.
Okay.
Getting there.
It's good. Good to have goals. I've got one written on my whiteboard here for Q1. I'm going to check some blood markers, you know, work with somebody, in our network who does it, natural health, you know, functional medicine, and just review some blood markers and make sure everything's optimal, see where I can improve. As my wife always tells me or reminds me, there's always room for improvement. It's usually around birthdays and like Christmas, you know, when gifts are offered. I should just get a shirt that says that. Yeah. So health is what we're going to talk about today, to an extent, because the health, that's one of those things in life that's very uncertain. You can do everything right. You can do, you know, follow the book and do all those things right. And still, bam, something hits you medically that you really had no control over. You got to control over a lot, but sometimes you don't, right? Like you get that, skin cancer on a part of your body that never sees the sun. So imagine that, you know, or lung cancer for somebody who's never smoked a cigarette in their life. Like it happens.
Yeah. In fact, my neighbor up the street, that's what happened to him. Never smoked a day in his life. And at age, you know, 58 or something, 59, had lung cancer. So yeah. So we like to say, right, your health can change literally overnight. Had a best friend growing up, you know, in his late 20s, early 30s, leukemia, you know, healthy guy, you know, does marathons, all that stuff, super fit, but you know, anything can get anybody at any time.
Right. And if you haven't done the planning before that happens, you may not have the chance to after. So this topic hits home because just in the last week, I had a really good friend of mine who ended up, you know, discovering some cancer on his skin, got it removed, but he's an airline pilot. He can't fly now, right? He's medically disqualified for a pretty, who knows how long of a time, but I think at least a minimum of 6 months. So, you know, that's a big hit, not just to obviously your body and your health, but man, that's a big hit to your finances and all the plans maybe you had over the next 6 months or a couple years. Now, maybe, you know, best case, probably receiving what, 50% of his average paycheck in disability, long-term disability. So, you know, you cut your income in half. So that could impact a lot of people.
Yeah, it's a similar situation to when people leave the military. All of a sudden, you know, their pension is 30% of whatever they were making roughly if they retired at 20 years or something. So they go from making a certain level of income to all of a sudden, uh-oh. And, you know, can you live off it? If you plan for it, yes. Like I easily could have moved back to Kentucky at Fort Knox and lived in my house that was $1,500 a month on my pension. Would have been fine. We chose to go in the opposite direction, but that's for another story for another time. Yeah, you need to I guess the whole purpose of this, right, is you need to think with the end in mind. You need to plan ahead and plan for those contingencies.
Yeah. So, and maybe you could live on 50%, but do you want to? You know, that's another question you could ask. So pilots, I mean, really, we're focusing and talking a lot about airline pilots today, because we have a lot of pilots in our network. We work with a ton of pilots. It seems to be the, you know, the majority of the clients that we have. But some things about airline pilots, they make a really good income. But their occupational status is very fragile, because it doesn't take much to lose your class one medical from the FAA due to a disability or some kind of health issue. You know, so a lot of these guys are and gals, if they're not planning properly, they, like we said at the beginning, may not even have the chance to plan if something like this happens, especially around the topic of life insurance, which is what we're going to talk about.
Yeah, which, as we know from experience working with these guys, a lot of them aren't thinking about it until well into their 50s. In some case, their early 60s, when they're approaching, you know, they're at the pinnacle, they're a captain, you know, they're picking and choosing what routes they take and when they take it, and they're making a good living doing it. But the last thing they've thought about is that transfer of risk. And it's what's kind of funny is they definitely understand risk management, because they've spent their whole adult life managing risk and transferring risk as much as they can. But when it comes to their finances, they've retained a lot of risk. They've separated themselves from the bulk of their capital is either locked up in the walls of their house or it's in their 401k.
Yep. Yeah, the two main places that people store their wealth, that the typical American is, you know, their wealth resides in the walls of their house and in their qualified plan. But that doesn't have to be the only way. You know, if you're grounded, you need cash now. So one of those questions people often ask, and I hear this from pilots, they always want to play the what if, because the fact is most of them know somebody who's lost their medical and can no longer fly. So that brings up a whole other topic of maybe you should be doing something else on the side. Maybe you should be looking for another business to purchase, buy a franchise, start your own business of some sort, invest in passive income opportunities, right? All of that stuff requires capital. And we'll talk about that. But if you lose the ability to fly and generate that great income that maybe you've gotten used to living on, you're going to need capital. And where's that going to come from? So a question I get is, and you probably get this a lot, not just from pilots, but really from everybody, because they're always playing worst case scenario, is what happens if I lose my job in 5 years? How am I going to pay my premium? I love that question, because it's an easy thing to answer. It's like, well, are you going to be more worried about paying your premium if you lose your job in 5 years, or are you going to be more concerned about having money to live on? And if you've been doing this for 5 years, you've got money to live on. Paying the premium, that's secondary. You can do that even if you got to borrow the cash value to do it. No big deal.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, I'll bring myself up as a case study. I had a goal when we first started in this business back in, you know, you 2018, me 2019, to basically try to replace my Army income with something else, a combination of maybe some business income, some real estate income, some private lending income. You know, I'm not, you know, a guy with 180 IQ, you know, Warren Buffett level type guy, but I, you know, a normal person with some dedication can do that. And I just took, you know, slow and steady chunks of developing passive income streams to replace my active duty Army incomes. My point is anybody can do it. It just takes, you have to, you know, instead of maybe, and this is a great show. I've been watching Mayor of Kingstown. I've been, you know, just started it.
Yeah.
What an awesome,
yep.
It's a good phenomenal show. I just finished season one, the last, oh my God. But instead of maybe, you know, those few extra episodes every night, maybe take some time and get involved in that local real estate mastermind. Start capitalizing a second or third or fourth dividend paying whole life policy. Do something else that's more productive with your time, so that when Murphy shows up, you're prepared.
Yeah. And by Murphy, Paul's referring to Murphy's Law. What can go wrong will go wrong. Usually at the
right.
Most
I don't mean just some random
time.
Irish guy.
Yeah. Right. No offense. It's okay. No, I can make jokes like that because my wife is Irish. It's okay. Just like you can make Italian jokes. Right.
Right. I was just about to make a Blazing Saddles joke, but it's probably too much.
Yeah, we'd have to edit it, most likely, these days.
Well, there's no swearing.
Yeah. Anyway. Right. Doesn't make it clean.
Oh.
So we pulled up some statistics on pilots being grounded, and everybody believes, especially when you're a pilot, I'm bulletproof. Nothing's ever going to happen to me. I'm a zipper-suited sun god. All these other, things that pilots refer to themselves as. Again, we can give pilots a hard time because we are pilots. But, looking at your medical disqualification, annually, almost 5 out of 1,000 active airline pilots are denied medical certification. Long-term disability. Here's one. 1 in 20 pilots are on long-term disability at any given time. And that comes right from Harvey Watt, which is the company that actually provides disability insurance to airline pilots because nobody else provides disability. Like you and I could write disability insurance, and I have in the past, but no company will provide disability insurance for pilots because they're so fragile in the sense that they could lose their qualification so easily. Between the ages of 40 to 45, if you jump 10 years from 45 to 55, the denial rates jump 260% from 45 years old to 55 years old to that age range.
I believe it.
There's a lot of denials. And, people don't want to think about it because, of course, you're never going to get that old anyway. I don't ever plan to be 55 years old. That's a long ways away, but
there definitely seems to be a steep decline in most people's health, generally speaking, at 45. People say, "Oh, I'm turning 40 this year." I'm like, "No, don't worry, you're still good. You wait a few years, yeah. You'll need reading glasses. You'll need whatever. Your cholesterol is gonna be out of whack or whatever." But it definitely just turns on. Like I said at the beginning, it happens almost overnight.
Yeah. I used to think I had one bad knee because I had ACL surgery in 1999 on my right knee, but I have two bad knees now and I have no idea why. I walk around, I limp around sometimes, and I was just mentioning to Hannah last night, I was like, I can't imagine being an NFL player at 45 years old, retired. I've been retired for 10 years or whatever, but I spent 20 years beating my body up. Like, I'm in pain and I only played like a year of college ball. And barely even played at that. So I can't even imagine that. Yeah, but most of the issues with pilots are really cardiovascular and, psychiatric, something to do with their brain in one way or another. So you're saying there's a chance. There's a chance.
Yeah.
Put something in place to ensure that there's some guarantees for you on the other side. Yeah, you got a great career, great income. You're going to make more money every single year. If the plan goes as planned, the older you get, the more money you make. Prime earning years are ahead of you. But what if? What if? So that's really where we want to dive into is what if? What could you have done to prepare yourself?
Well, I think behavior modification comes into play here, right? So with high income comes sometimes high lifestyle. And, if you go from making, $150,000 to $350,000 in a short amount of time, if you didn't have the right disciplines in place and you weren't used to, for example, like Nelson Nash in the early 80s, he was paying $18,000 a life insurance premium in the early 80s with no PUA riders, right? Nothing special, all base. But he was used to doing that. So when the emergency came, he actually had a pool of capital. He had built the pool of capital they could draw from and trade out interest rates at 23% to 8% or 5% or whatever. So same thing goes for the pilots. You got to start, hey, this lifestyle is good. I'm going to take this chunk of capital. Yep, the airline's doing my 401k over here for me. Now I'm going to take my savings, money I want to have to use for opportunities or emergencies, and I'm going to start capitalizing this dividend-paying whole life insurance policy. So I think that's what, if I were a young budding airline pilot, maybe about to make captain or something, that's the first thing I would do. Now at age 46, I can look back over 20 years and say, gosh, if I had done this when I was 25 as a young captain, how much capital would I have now at my fingertips to do stuff? And I can tell you, I need it. It would be nice to have an extra, you know, 50 or 100 grand laying around and a whole life policy. So that's what I would start doing. That would be my advice, first and foremost.
Yeah. And, you know, we work with a lot of clients who they're smart. They're not waiting for the next upgrade or the next pay raise so they can increase their standard of living. I love when I get a call from a client. He's like, hey, I got a pay raise. I'm going through captain upgrade, or, you know, I fly for a certain airline that gets profit sharing bonuses on Valentine's Day, and I got a big chunk coming my way. I want to make sure that this has a home that I can put this money to work, start growing for me and capitalize myself before I spend it. So that's perfect. And that's exactly what this system allows you to do, because, you know, you got the qualified plan that's being funded. Maybe you put a little more into it. Maybe you do a Roth if you're able to, or a backdoor Roth. But there's still the fact that your money needs to reside somewhere. Capital must reside somewhere. So why not find the most efficient and beneficial place for your capital to reside that'll work for you while you're alive? And also, once you're gone, you leave behind an income tax-free death benefit that's going to be multiples of what you ever paid in. Where else can you get that besides specially designed dividend-paying whole life insurance?
No, you're not going to get it. It's, you know, it's the Swiss Army knife of risk transfer. I often say it's my favorite financial product. Once I discovered it, once you really understand IBC and understand how whole life insurance works, because that's, as Nelson says in the book, that is, understanding how it all works is critical to making, you know, to understanding the system and how to implement it. But my God, once you're there, you can't pay enough premium, right? One of the things that we kind of run into sometimes, and it's been my experience in underwriting, that most pilots, if they're passing their 6 month or annual flight physical, they're gonna go through underwriting fairly easily. Have you found that to be true?
Yeah, most of them are very healthy. I mean, the older ones, most of them are on some kind of statin or
I'm on a statin. Who cares?
Right, or cholesterol medication or something like that. So they do get through. Now there is, though, here's a big question, is because when you go get your medical every 6 months, one of the questions you have to answer is, have you been declined for life insurance? Why would the FAA ask you that? Well, probably because life insurance companies are very thorough. A lot more thorough than your flight doc, I know. You know, who just kind of pencil whips the report every 6 months and sends you on your way. Life insurance companies are very thorough, and they're going to uncover things that your flight doc did not. I mean, we know a guy this happened to, right?
Yep. Yeah, no doubt. Here's what I think about the life insurance companies. They will find it. They will find it. It is, if it's there, it's in a pharmacy report, it's in a traffic stop you had, maybe if it's your inspection report, they're going to find something on you. So, you know, disclose it. Sometimes, and this is, you know, we don't want this to happen, but sometimes life insurance companies can find things that actually saves people's lives. Now, they're not going to get insurance, but they found something that someone else had missed. And,
exactly.
And it's acute and it's bad, but they find it. So there is goodness there. But generally speaking, with your pilots, they're going to be fine.
They are, but I've had that question. Pilots are a little bit scared, just like every pilot's afraid to go to the doctor. You never, especially being in the military, you never go to the doctor, right? You don't want to lose your PQ. You don't want to go to NIF and have to sit out and not fly, because that's what you join the military to do.
So NIF.
Yeah. Duty not including flying. So when a pilot says, well, I don't want to get declined, because then I have to reveal that to the FAA, then they start digging into my records, and then they're going to pull my medical, and I don't have a job anymore. So what we do, because we work with a lot of pilots, we know the insurance company and the underwriters know that, hey, if this applicant is heading for a decline, let me know. because I'm going to withdraw that application. So you will not have a decline on your record. It'll just be, we'll simply withdraw it. So then you don't have to answer that question. Yes, I've been declined. So don't worry about that. If that's a fear of going through a whole life insurance underwriting process for a pilot, it's unwarranted because it can be avoided. So now here's one of the other big questions, Paul, and this is something almost nobody knows about. A little rider that is available in these policies. So you get the question, well, okay, how am I going to pay my premium if I lose my medical and then lose my job? So if I lose my medical, my $300,000 income goes away. How do I pay my premium? So what is one way we can ensure that your premium can continue to get paid?
So we have these things called disability waiver premium riders, sometimes just called just waiver premium rider. So if that were to occur, and I've had this actually happen, not a pilot client, but a nurse who went down for a medical issue and didn't reach out to me, but it turns out very well could have kicked in this rider, and it would have basically, the life insurance company will pay the base premium for you while that disability is, you know, preventing you from doing your job, whether you are a nurse, carpenter, or whatever, airline pilot. So that is one way that you could, that's just another nice, and there's a cost for that rider, probably not that much, but that is another way to just transfer the risk to the company and, you know, kind of gives you that warm and fuzzy, right? Where, hey, I know even if I can't work because of a medical issue, my premiums will be paid.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's one of those where you work with a client who's got an office job. I still say, hey, you know, I have it on my policies. I like to have it, but you could roll the dice and, you know, save a little bit of money and put it towards death benefit and cash value instead. But when it comes to like pilots, or if it was, you know, somebody who had a dangerous job, flying isn't inherently dangerous. It's just unforgiving. Unless you're just a really bad pilot, then it's dangerous for you and everybody else. But I say I fully and highly recommend that you add this waiver premium rider to your policy so that if you cannot perform your primary job for a medical reason, some kind of disability reason, the company will pay your premium on your behalf. And just because your body quits doesn't mean your policy has to quit. So it's almost a no-brainer.
Yeah, I agree with you. I underwrite it for every single policy that we do. And, you know, then the client and I will talk about it when it comes to issue the policy. But I think you're right. I think it's a no-brainer. You should, you know, I think generally speaking, you should want to transfer as much risk as you can. Like why not? And it's kind of like paying yourself first. You're not going to miss that money anyway. Once, if we design it into the policy, it's just going to be the way it is. And you're not going to miss it.
Yeah. Exactly.
Yeah. So imagine a bank that says, since you're sick and can't work, we'll make your monthly deposits for you. That's the power of a properly structured dividend paying whole life insurance policy. Of course, a bank is never going to say that, right? They're not going to do anything for you. They're going to put you into collections and then take all your property.
Just like the FAA. The FAA doesn't care about your mortgage. You know, they care about regulations. They care about following protocol. You need a financial system that is FAA proof. And this is one way to do it. You know, they say, hey, you're not fit to fly. Well, guess what? Your policy is going to continue to be funded because you had that waiver premium, that disability rider. So as we transition to talk more about the infinite banking concept and these policies, it's kind of like having an alternate runway. So of course, pilot, you got your primary runway, but if the weather is not above a certain criteria, you got to have an alternate. Right. And you should probably have alternates all along the route anyway. You never know what's going to happen. Right. Something's going to pop up.
Yeah. Point. We always had them. They weren't that far away.
Well, and, you know, in a helicopter, could be pretty much anywhere, right?
Pretty much anywhere. Yeah. Sure.
Yeah. You know, liquidity is king. When you lose a job or you have a big interruption, you go on long term disability for a certain amount of time, you need liquidity. If you start the infinite banking concept and you start that now, You're planning for that. Hopefully it never happens, but you've got a plan in place in case it does. You're building your own war chest. You've got access to that tax-free capital in a matter of days to cover, you know, your family's not going to starve and they're not going to get kicked out of the house because you can't pay the mortgage, right?
No, I like how you've said it before, is you're planning to be strong when that moment comes. When that unknown emergency, the future's unknown. When that unknown thing occurs, you've put things in place so that you can act from a position of strength when it comes. And we see it time and time again in our own families or our friends or whoever that aren't our clients, things happen and they're just, it's a GoFundMe or it's some other emergency or it's a loan from Uncle Bob or whoever. And it could have been avoided. And it could have been avoided without costing you any more money.
Yeah. It just reminded me when you said the GoFundMe, just this last week, one of my good buddies, he said one of his high school buddies died. And he sent us the GoFundMe page. And this buddy of mine actually has a policy with me. He saw the light. He understands the importance of life insurance. And he said, yeah, I know the guy. I'm pretty sure he probably didn't have life insurance. And I just responded on that thread to my buddies, like, don't let a GoFundMe be your legacy. What a terrible legacy to leave behind. Sad.
And I personally donated to a couple of them and, people I didn't, went to high school with, didn't know their spouse or anything, but it was just like, well, what am I going to do? I had the ability to do it, so I did it, but it's just like, you shouldn't have to do those things. And I get, the rare case where somebody's uninsurable. But again, this goes back, Dave, to getting, and we're going to do an episode on this, parents owning life insurance on their children. As soon as they're born, child should have life insurance. And then you can avoid a whole, generationally, you can avoid all these issues, become self-sustaining, right?
Yep.
Perpetual wealth system that doesn't take that much to sustain once it's going.
Yeah, I've seen a rash of that in the last year. Parents coming back saying, okay, I got a policy on me. I'm the breadwinner. Now let's move to the kids. And this is going to be, one, it's going to guarantee insurance, life insurance on them for the rest of their lives. It's going to get bigger every single year. And two, it's going to build something meaningful for them when they're young adults. And say the parent decides to transfer the ownership of that policy to them, they could use it to get started in life. Like so many things. But yeah.
Superior plan. Superior product,
yeah,
compared to what most parents are doing.
Yeah, so just as important. I mean, so I started flying for the commercial airlines. I got back into flying in 2019. Right, a year later, COVID happened and everybody stopped flying. And I told everybody, because I was I was the oldest guy in my class with the airline, and we were all on a group me or something like that. And there are a bunch of young kids in there in their 20s. And I said, hey, here's what I recommend. Volunteer not to fly and get paid not to fly and go find a second career. Because this is going to happen again during your lifetime, during your career as a pilot. This won't be the first time. Like it happened within a year of becoming a commercial airline pilot. You think it might happen again in the next 40 years while you're still flying? Yeah. Use that time wisely. Go start another career. Find something you're good at. And establish yourself somewhere. Come back to flying when it picks up, which it did another year later, year and a half later, it picked up. But I think every pilot should it's a part-time job. It's truly a part-time job, a great part-time job. But you need to do something else with that time. And I remember going on trips and dudes would just lock themselves in the room and watch Netflix for an entire weekend until we had to get up and leave the hotel. 40 hours later. And I'm like, what are you doing with your time, man? Nothing. So do something better with your time. And, if you're going to think long range, which is one of the principles of infinite banking, you got to think long range. Most people who do, who are clients of ours, have something else on their plate that they're striving towards, whether it's starting their own business, running their own business, or an investment strategy outside of the stock market. They want to do something else. They want to own real estate. They want to, they want to flip. I got a client who flips airplanes. literally buys airplanes, fixes them up, and flips them. Like one of my first clients, early clients. So do something.
Unbelievable.
Find something else. You got the time. You know, there's no reason not to. Do it for your family.
And, you know, in this inflationary environment, and there's so much going on with the dollar and crypto and silver and, and just all kinds of stuff that's going on in the world. You know, other skill sets like the pilot thing, like you were saying, that could fall apart tomorrow. You know, we Eastern Airlines in the 1980s, that apparently caught everyone by surprise. Like, surprise, goodbye, this business no longer exists. And then our friend Paul, he went through it with the airline industry as a pilot for a major airline. And it's just, you know, it's cyclical and it's going to happen. So I agree with you 100%. You got to have some other irons in the fire. Not that it should, you know, suck down your entire life and existence, but you got to have something else going on and start small, start with what you enjoy and start with what you know and what you're good at. And then, you know, those little income streams, $500 a month eventually turns into $1,000, turns into $1,500, into $2,000, and just little by little, some discipline and some compounding and reinvestment. And you can make a nice little, you have like a second, you know, it's like a part-time job that you're not doing. And then it's like a full-time job that you're not doing. And then it's like a really good career that you're not doing. It's just I'm saying passive with quotation marks, folks. You know, nothing is truly passive. Like, don't let all these real estate people on YouTube fool you. They don't have time for anything.
They don't.
All those videos on the beach are purposely recorded just for that. These people never have time for 5 minutes to talk about their next life insurance policy. Yep, I'm digging at you folks. I'm sorry, but it's true.
Yeah, it's not passive income. There's very little that is truly passive. Yeah, so it's all going to require work, whether it's just studying and getting smart on something. That takes a lot of work. If you want to reduce the risk, you got to get smarter on whatever it is you want to pursue. Just like flying, right? The smarter you are, the more knowledge you have, the less risk there is.
We know that.
Yeah. Yeah. So speaking of knowledge and improving your knowledge, if you're still listening, go get the book, Becoming Your Own Banker, 92 pages. You finish it in 3 hours. Or go to, I've got another site out there, IBC for Pilots, IBC4pilots.com. You can get my abbreviated book, which is about a 15-minute read. So it's pilot proof. You can read that, you know, while you're in the climb, because we know you're not really paying attention all the time. So I get text messages from buddies who are flying. I'm flying right now. My FO is driving me crazy. So yeah, we get it. But, check that out, get some more videos and check the book out. But, if you think this might be for you, reach out to us, get our emails and our scheduling links in the show notes, or the website. So yeah. That's it. You got any closing statements, Paul?
I have no parting shots today. You know, transfer as much risk as you can.
That sounded like a parting shot. So I love it. Everybody always says no, but here's what I'm going to say. So, yeah.
I felt obligated to say something.
That's exactly it. And every time you ask somebody that, they say no. And then they say something because you feel obligated. So that was just a little social experiment.
It worked.
All right. Well, yeah. Hope you all enjoyed. Thanks for listening. Stay tuned for next week. It'll be a good one. Until then, control your capital.
Or somebody else will.